So when it comes to charitable giving, let's talk about that. How can people start to plan out their 2019 to give them some tax advantages for this upcoming year?
Yeah, so there's a couple of ways to do that. There's two ways to really maximize the efficiency of giving. One of those is qualified charitable distributions. When you get to be 70 and a half, the government says whether you need it or not, we're going to make you take what's called a required minimum distribution. And we're finding out that there's a lot of clients that maybe don't need that distribution, but they have to take it anyway, and they have to count it as income.
Right. Even though they may not need the income, so to speak. Okay.
Correct.
Gotcha.
Yep. So one of the things that is available is you can have essentially your IRA cut a check to your church or charity, and it becomes a tax-free distribution to you.
Sure. So it counts as the RMD, the required minimum distribution, but you won't get taxed on it. If you were to take that as income, you would get taxed.
You pay income tax on that. Uh-huh. And you know, the required minimum distribution and the charitable qualified charitable distribution are two separate things. So you have to make sure that your qualified charitable distribution is at least the amount of your required minimum distribution.
Gotcha. But when it comes to planning out your giving, this is a great time to do that because you're kind of looking ahead towards the end of the year already, well, not already, but trying to plan out that giving and saying, hey, you know, throughout the year, you should be giving to these, you know, qualified charitable distribution so we can give, because it's a great place to put it, obviously, if you don't need the income, right?
Exactly. Yep, exactly.
Okay, so and when you do this, you have to be 70 and a half, is that correct?
Correct. Yes, you in order to, you know, be able to do a qualified charitable distribution, you have to be at the age where you can start taking your required minimum, or you have to start taking your required minimum distributions.
Gotcha. Now, this is important that you know this, because if you go visit your CPA, they won't necessarily catch that, is that correct?
Right. So when you these distributions are just coded as distributions on a 1099. And so if you don't go and alert your tax advisor or your CPA that you've made these qualified charitable distributions, you will be taxed on those charitable distributions as income.
Okay.
And so it's important, make sure that if you are doing this, that you're telling your tax advisor that you've done this so that they know.
Right. So, and do you help people with that with your clients? Can you help them kind of set this up and walk through this process? Because you have to kind of quote unquote report it. Is that correct?
Correct. Okay. Yeah. So the reporting really happens on the tax advisor end of things. Okay. We you know, can help clients set up, you know, how that money gets distributed and where it goes. But the reporting really happens between the client and their tax advisor.
Gotcha. The other strategy is called bunching. Talk about that. What does that even mean?
Yeah, so bunching, with the new standard deduction going way up this year, most people I shouldn't say most people, but there are a lot of people that don't qualify for itemizing anymore. And so what this allows you to do is use a donor advised fund to give 2 years worth of giving. So maybe you have an amount that you give to your church or charity every year. You can give 2 years worth of giving in one year. And then you can slowly give it out over the course of 2 years.
Sure. So you brought up the idea of a donor advised fund. That's basically like a holding place for this money to go.
It's a vehicle that allows you to put money in, and you can either let it sit in cash, you can invest it, you can, you know, there's a whole host of things that you can do with it while it's sitting in there. But the problem, you know, you could always give 2 years, you know, sure, to a church or charity, but what happens is it really kind of messes up their books. They're used to getting that payment. So they have to, you know, manage it wisely and spread it out over 2 years, whereas this allows you to you know, take the deduction for giving for right, 2 years in one, and then slowly give that money out over the course of 2 years.
What's it take to open a donor advised fund? Is that like a nonprofit you're opening, or what does that look like?
It's essentially really simple to do it. Okay. There's websites that you can go to. You know, set something up. I mean, you set up an online account. People do that all the time. Okay. It's very similar to that.
And basically, you can put money into that, and you don't have to use it for this bunching technique, so to speak, do you? It's kind of a holding place where then that fund, isn't that fund basically cut the check to the charities when you tell it to do so? Is that what that is?
Yeah, yeah. So, you know, you can go online and just, you know, you can either put your name on the check or you can give it anonymously, which some people really like. But,
okay,
you know, donor advised funds really... They allow you to do more than that. You can donate appreciated stock to it, for instance.
Oh, that's right, yeah.
And so instead of paying capital gains on it, you can donate the appreciated stock and then give it out from there.